Saints of God, we were in chapter 3, and we were looking at the book of Acts. And chapter 3 opened up with Peter and John going to the temple to pray, if y'all remember. While they was on the way to the temple, they saw a man sitting at the beautiful gate. This particular man was paralyzed, lame, the Bible says, from his mother's womb. He was asking for alms, a little handout, a little donation. When he asked Peter and John for the donation, Peter and John say, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The people began to gather. They saw the man instantly healed, leaping, jumping, praising God. They began to gather around Peter at Solomon's porch, and Peter began preaching. Right here in Acts chapter 3, Peter is preaching his second sermon. He's telling people about God and how it wasn't their own power that did it, but it was Almighty God. And he began to preach unto them Jesus Christ. Peter said he was the one that y'all rejected. He was the one that you chose a murderer over. He was the one that you killed, the Prince of Life. And he says, listen, believe in him, repent, be converted, and God will blot out your sins. That's still the message of the cross today, Mike. That no matter how much bad we've done against our God or even talked about our Savior, if we repent, if we believe, and we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the hope that all, somebody say all of our sins will be blotted out. He'll forgive every single one of them. It's all about just coming to God and believing. Amen. And that's what Peter preaches. He preaches the gospel. While Peter is preaching the gospel, we get to Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And look at it with me. Look what it says. It says, and as they spake unto the people, as Peter is preaching, as him and John stand up and they're preaching the gospel, the Bible tells us the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, what they do? They came upon them. And when the Bible says it came upon them, it expounds upon what they did in verses 3. They came, they took hold of Peter and John, they put them in jail, they arrested them. Amen. For preaching the gospel. For preaching the gospel. Some commentators say Peter was preaching, and they broke in while he was preaching. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, when you're really getting it, that's when they broke in. Stopped the sermon, arrested him, and took him to jail. Acts chapter 4, especially verses 1 through 4, is all about something we call in the church called persecution. Somebody say persecution. Pastor, what's persecution? Persecution is when somebody begins to treat you differently, begins to hurt or harm you, or the people you love, not because of what you did, but because of who you believe in. Anybody hear me up in here? Persecution could happen to you when you're good to people. When you're loving them. When you're being all that you could be. And it's not about, amen, that you done did them wrong. They don't like who you believe in. It's about Jesus. And I got a definition for you up there. It's when you pursue, oppress, harass, afflict, or punish. Who? The people of God. And some people will do that to you. They'll come after you. Try to hold you down. Harass you. Or even put pain to your life. Because you're one of God's people. And you won't take that to another level. If you're one of God's people that's trying to live right, that's a whole nother thing. Because the Bible says, Brother Sam, that all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Now every Christian gonna suffer persecution, but those that's, you know, the ones that's really pressing after God, come on, come on. You know, the ones that want to know the word, that want to pray, that want to live right, they hungry for God, that's the ones that's gonna suffer the most persecution. We got some Christians in here, they say, Pastor, well, I'm not really suffering persecution. I got a question for you. Are you living godly? You understand what I'm saying? Because when you decide to live godly and put the world down, the world is going to react to you. And they ain't going to react in love. There's another group of people, amen, that say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, and I'm not suffering persecution. You know, the first question was, are you living godly? But the second question is, we even got to dig deeper than that. Are you saved? You see, because the world don't hate its own, no. The world only hate those that's not of the world. Jesus said they hated me before they hated you. And the reason they hate me because, listen, I'm not of this world, man. I'm not of this world. The Bible said the world hears its own. So I'm asking you this morning, are you suffering persecution? Are people a little funny around you? Do people treat you differently than they treat other people? Because that should be your testimony. That should be the litmus test to see, to show whether you believe or not. Now, when I first got saved and they preached that to me, I didn't really understand that, Brother Sam, Ms. Leola. I said, well, I'm a nice person. Everybody gonna like me. I'm a likable person. I said, nobody ain't mad at Omar, you know? But I had to wait a while. So to my new Christians, you're just coming in, Todd. You're into church. You hear me talking to them, Mom? you're just coming in. You ain't experienced what we experienced just yet. Brother Montgomery will tell you, you ain't experienced it just yet. But wait a while. Because the longer you in Christ, and especially the more you grow, and the more hungry you get for living right, persecution shall come. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So this section is about persecution. Now let me break it down a little bit further. Let me give you the modes and the methods, the type of persecution. You have what's called verbal persecution. And that's when they talk about you, man. You know what I'm saying? They call your names, holy roller. You're in the church. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? In the what? I'm home. Where I'm at? Like, no, you're in the church. I'm home. No, but you're in the church. You know? Then they used to call my wife, oh, that's the preacher's wife. You know what I'm saying? Whitney Houston, the movie. You know what I'm saying? And they began to talk about you. And it go from just low-level talking about you all the way up to, you know, being mean to you, gossiping about you, you know, cursing you when you're not around, you know? So that's how persecution is. And some of y'all done been through this, man, you know? And I'm going to tell you, second service, listen, that's a hard place to be. You know? They got some people think that Christianity is for weaklings. That Christianity is for punks. To be a real Christian, you can't be no punk, man. You got to be a soldier, man. You got to be a soldier. You got to know who you believe in, why you believe it, and say you can say what you want. I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. See, some of y'all still love your friends too much. You still love your family too much. You worried more about what other people say than what God says about you. You understand what I'm saying? So they start talking, oh, you're always at church. Next thing you know, now you're missing church. You don't really want to miss church. You just worried about them talking about you attending church. So now you began to mess up your relationship with God because of some verbal persecution. Listen, my dog, you got to understand something, man. They going to talk about you, man. They going to talk about you when you was in the club, doing the drug, drinking the drink, messing with the men, messing with the women, and they going to talk about you while you're in church. They going to talk about you anyway. You might as well come and serve God and do what you got to do and let them talk. Somebody say verbal persecution. But that's not all. That's not all. There's also social persecution. Pastor, what's that? Social persecution is when they not only talk about you, but when you come around, they either leave or they don't call you to come around no more. Anybody hear me with that? Now that's that next level, all right? That's when they really know that you real when you in it. You come around, man, you walking in the kitchen and they scatter like roaches when the light come on. They hiding stuff, dying stuff out, you know what I'm saying? Hi. I'm like, man, am I 5-0? Am I the law? You know what I'm saying? What is y'all doing? You know, social persecution is when they begin to treat you like an outcast. Anybody ever felt like an outcast before? You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about people, man, you grew up with, man. Man, we was in kindergarten together, man. You know we jumped that dude together at JW Falk. Why you, what in the world? You know what I'm saying? Now I hear my boys get together, Miss Leah. And the daddy told me, T. He said, man, oh, he said you was there when the mall boys got together. They all got together. I said, no. I said, ain't nobody called me. Now some people would get mad at that. But Pastor Noel, the game. You ain't call me because I'm not down no more. You ain't call me because I'm not doing what you used to do no more. And I'm not going to get mad at that. In fact, that's a compliment. It lets me know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. Now, I'm feeling something in the spirit. Now, when they still calling you to come. When they still calling you to come. What that say? That say they must think that you still got a little, you're still a little loose in some areas. You're not tight all the way. Tighten up now. You got verbal and you got social. That's why, God child, listen, you got to be a soldier. They think them Christians weak, man. Listen, we the last thing from weak. For Jesus, we'll forsake it all. The old hymn say that, huh? Though none go with me, still I will follow. That's the heart of the Christian. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something real. You new Christians, listen to me good. God gonna test you. God gonna test you to see who you love the most. So he gonna put your friends on one side, he gonna put himself on the other. He gonna put your family on one side, he gonna put himself on the other. I'm talking about mama and daddy, sister and brother. I'm talking about children. He gonna put himself on one side. And he gonna say, now which one you wanna be with the most? And look what the Bible says. If you love mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love sister and brother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Daddy, I'm sorry. Sister, I'm sorry. I'm not compromising my relationship with my God for you. If we got a part ways, we just got to part ways. I still love you. You know, I'm be down with you. But we got to part ways. Because I done found somebody I love more than you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah. There's a social persecution and a verbal persecution. And then we get to this next level. There's what we call a physical persecution. Now, we don't know that yet in America, y'all. Not yet. It's when they actually put their hands on you. It's what we see in the text right here with Peter and John. They just didn't verbally abuse them. They just didn't socially reject them. No. They grabbed them. Detained them. Apprehended them. Put them in jail. You see? And physical persecution goes all the way to them grabbing you, to them beating you, to them abusing you, to them maiming and hurting you, all the way to martyrdom, them taking your life. And that's going on, Second Service. Listen, that's going on in other countries. Yeah. It's going on. You listen, that'd be the most terrible videos for you to watch when they show them Christians getting set on fire and getting beaten, broke legs with bats and all because Jesus. This thing here is not for weaklings. Weaklings do what everybody else do. It takes somebody of true strength to stand up and say, nah. That's why some of y'all, you what we call first generation Christians. Meaning that you one of the first ones in your family to really get the gospel. And a lot of them might have religion, but they ain't saved. They ain't really doing what God would have them to do. But you one of the pioneers. I'm talking to somebody in here. Oh yeah, daddy, mama still unsaved. Brother, sister still unsaved. But you're the only one, and you feel lost. You feel left alone. You feel like, Lord, I need a little help. Somebody pray for me. And you feel that way. I want to encourage you. You see? Keep standing. Trouble don't last always. Oh yeah, brother, I'm gonna keep standing. Keep standing. I know you will. Keep standing. Don't ever turn your back on the Lord. Listen, and those people that give you the most trouble, if you take a stand, if you just draw a line in the sand and take a stand, those same people that gave you the most trouble, you're thinking about them right now. They just seen if you're real. And they're going to hold out for a little while. Hallelujah, huh, Brother Nelson? They're going to hold out. They're going to talk about you. And next thing you know, hallelujah, you're coming in church, and guess who with you? They just won't see if you're going to hold out. Hold the line. Hold the line. They coming. Hold the line. Don't give up. Somebody thinking about that child. Don't give up on that child. I could bring people up in here right now that could tell you children that wasn't in church, but they held the line. And now they sitting in church. I could bring up people right here, right now, talk about sisters and brothers and mamas and daddies, but they held the line. And the people in church right now, listen, we're going to talk about persecution. Somebody say persecution. You see? You're going to go through it, man. You're going to go through it. In this text, verses 1 through 4, we're going to be talking about persecution for a few weeks. And I'm going to show you where I'm going. Let me give you a little roadmap so you can study, you can see where Pastor going. For this first service, we're going to talk about who the persecutors are. We're going to show you the people that's most likely to persecute you. You got to know these things. See, because if somebody going to hurt me, I would like to know who's going to do it. And God going to show you in his Bible. So persecution is going to show you. That's the first point when they say the priest, the captain of the temple, And the Sadducees, we're gonna just break down the people who persecute. Next time when we come, good Lord, spare life and limb, amen. We're gonna talk about, amen, why they persecute. Verse 2, share that. They got something going on the inside of them. Next time we come, amen, or maybe together with this one, we're gonna talk about number 3, how they persecute, the things they do. You know they laid hands on. We're going to get more deeper into that. And then number 4, we'll talk about how be it. Because even though persecution happens, God still moves. Come on, give God some glory. Amen? So that's where we're going. Let's just take our time, if you're all right with that. And let's just talk about our first point, the persecutors. The people who persecute. And we're kind of just going to break it down. A, the priests. B, the captain of the temple, and C, the Sadducees. Who the persecutors are? A, the priests. Oh, Pastor, you're talking about the priests of the Catholic Church? No, not them priests. Not them priests. When they say the priests, they're talking about the Jewish priests back in Jesus' day. The chief priests. Two men by the name of Caiaphas and Annas. And they were in charge of all the religion in Jesus' days. They were in charge of the temple. They was running the things of God. And they were the ones persecuted. Let me give you a little nugget. What does this teach us? This teaches us that persecution can come from religious leaders. Persecution can come from people in the church. Persecution can come from people you think love God, supposed to be building God's house, supposed to be arm in arm with you, amen. Persecution can come from the place where you come to try to find hope and love. Persecution happens in the church, man. I need to tell you this. Because some of y'all come to church, amen, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, thinking that no harm could happen in these walls. And so you hold your heart out to everybody in your hand. You don't come here armored. You don't come here with a right mindset. You come here like everybody perfect, everybody Jesus already. Everybody ain't Jesus. You come here like everybody saved. Everybody not saved. You come here like everybody delivered. Everybody not delivered. So when somebody hurt you and persecute you in this place, it'll mess you up if you don't have the right mindset. Anybody hear me up in there? Because we rub each other the wrong way, but if you don't have the right mindset, now look, there you go. Somebody done told you something, did you something, you done experienced some persecution, you're ready to bounce. You're going to be, I'm out. You're going to pull a Harriet Tubman on me. You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. Persecution happens in the church. You need to know that. Let me show you some different areas where it happened at and why it happens, all right? It happens in the church, number one, because we got false brethren in the church. That's what you're talking about. We got some false brethren in the church. Pastor in Philadelphia? Yeah! Pastor, I thought we was a good church. We are a good church. Pastor, I thought you was a good pastor. I'm doing the best I can. But that don't mean we ain't gonna have no false brethren up in here. Jesus was the best pastor ever. And he had false brethren in his 12. What's his name? Judas. That's right. So if Jesus is gonna have a church of 12, where he with him all the time, and he got a false brethren sneak up in there, what do you think was going to happen past the Omar church and we running 1,500? You understand what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. Revelation. There are false brethren in the church, even in this church. People that's not saved yet, man. And what's going to happen is that these false brethren going to rub you the wrong way. Some of them even intentionally going to hurt you. You see what I'm saying? Come on, just let me let me just take my time here. You see? There's some people in here, amen, they're not wheat yet, they tares. They're not sheep yet, they're goat. You see? They're gonna give you a hard time. They may even lead you astray. You hook up with one of them false brethren because you think you could be friends with everybody in here. And that's not the truth. You hook up with somebody that really don't have it, and you new to church, and you hook up with them, but they not saved. You go someplace with them, and there you go, hallelujah, instead of leading you to do right, they begin to lead you to do wrong. It ain't wrong to be looking at these women. It ain't wrong to holler every now and then. Listen, man, let's get us a beer, man. Let's go drink. Come on, man, every now and then we can smoke a little bit. It's legal, man. God ain't gonna mind. It's natural. All them women going natural, let's go natural, man. You're laughing. Listen to me. They got some people that's gonna lead you astray. You gotta know that false brethren are here. It's not your job to be judging everybody, but just keep your eyes open. And when you see somebody trying to lead you astray, your flag go up and say, ah, that's not somebody I should be hanging with. Come on, anybody hear me up in here? Because there's some of them, amen, you're going to get friends with them, and there they go talking about everybody in the church. Every minister, every deacon, every teacher, pastor, first lady, going to be talking about everybody. Listen, flag should go up. It's not the people I should be hanging with. You got false brethren there. You know? And there you go putting your mouth on the people of God that's actually doing something. They ain't doing nothing. They ain't doing nothing. And there you go putting your mouth on the people of God that's doing something. You know what God said? God said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. And you wonder why things can't work out in your life. Listen now. Get away from them false brethren, man. They'll persecute you, lead you astray, mess you all up, man. Not only that, they'll talk about you. They'll fall out with you. And all this is an attempt to get you to leave the place where God wants you. Here you are, mad at the rest of the sheep because a wolf done bit you. You heard that? Yeah, they got some wolves in here. The wolf bites you, now you mad at me. I'm the shepherd. I ain't got no teeth like that. That is not even my teeth mark on your leg. That's not even a sheep teeth. A wolf done bit you. What you mad at me? What you won't leave church for? Now, what? What is it? You know they got false brethren in here. Chill out, man. No, you don't leave. You leave their company. You stop hanging with them. You see? Jesus said there'd be tares among the wheat. Paul say false brethren would sneak in unawares. You see? If the devil poses like an angel of light, it's no wonder that his ministers pose as ministers of righteousness. For such are deceitful workers, false apostles, transforming themselves into the apostles of God. Persecution come inside the church, and it come from false brethren. Let me give you another area in the church where you can get some persecution. I won't call them lukewarm Christians, but you can call them what you want. Let me tell you what I mean. Don't you be mad at me and start fussing with me about lukewarm corner. I don't want to hear that. I'm going to tell you what I mean. I'm talking about the Christians that's not growing. The ones that's not going nowhere. The ones that's been in church for 15 years and still don't know where Genesis at. The only prayer they know is the Our Father. You understand what I'm saying? They don't know nothing. They're not growing. And the level of holiness they was at when they came in is the level of holiness they at right now. And you can call them what you want. I call them lukewarm here. Sometimes Tony Evans might call them carnal. We can call them baby Christians. Call them what you want. But you know that there's a group of people that's in church, but they ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. They don't want it like you want it. They don't want it. They're here for fire insurance. That's all they're here for. I just won't be saved, but I won't do nothing in the church. I won't work the mirror. I won't do nothing. I don't want to do nothing. And I don't want to be too right. It don't take all that. Those baby Christians who have put a limit on themselves. Can you see the ceiling over their head? They put a glass in a limit. They have a limiter over them. When they see you come in, now they've been in church for 15 years. You come in, you've been here a week. You not only know where Genesis is, but you know where number do the rhyme, you know where it's at. Here you go, you starting quoting scripture, you starting to pray, and they looking at you growing like that, shooting up like a rocket. And they get mad. Oh, she thinks she's something. Look at her. Oh, she know her Bible now. Oh, he could pray. Oh, he moving on up. Oh, now the pastor done call him to do something now. Oh! Then you got to be careful. Because as you grow in, young Christian, they're going to be haters even in the church. You ever heard of spiritual jealousy? Yes. You think they're just jealous in the hood? When you got new clothes, they get yourself a new car, they get jealous. No. They got spiritual jealousy. Jealous of the way God is using you. Jealous of how you pray. Jealous of your relationship. Jealous of your growth. Jealous. And they'll begin to persecute you for it. Begin to persecute you for it. I'm telling you the truth, man. And God forbid they be over you. They'll never give you an opportunity. They got churches like that. They got some pastors that look out and see a man of God with an anointing on him like David. Anointing that remind him of himself or something like that. And instead of letting that David flourish, they'll get old Saul spirit on. Try to keep that man down. Not let him preach. Not let him teach. Not let him pray. Put him in the back somewhere. We put him in the closet. Clean the bathroom. Oh, yeah, you got an anointing for toilets. That boy ain't got no anointing for toilets. He got anointing to preach and to teach and to rain down fire and to pray. Spiritual jealousy and persecution can even come from religious leaders and in the church. Don't ever let that be in you. Don't ever let that be in you. Don't ever let that be in you. But also recognize that it could be in some other people. and you don't get offended. You don't leave the church, you know? Don't leave the church like that. Because a few people, amen, doing the wrong thing. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only that, we have another category. Now, I didn't know how to word this, so it's long. But you may get what I'm talking about. Those hanging on to yesterday's revelation, yesterday's orders, yesterday's vision. You see, our God is a moving God. Somebody say move. Our God moves. They equate him with things like the wind that listed where it will. You really don't know all the time how he moves. He's sovereign. He do what he got to do. He don't ask nobody permission. You either with him or you're not. A lot of times we want God to be with us. No, no, you better be with him, because when he moves, you got to move. He never asked Israel when the cloud, when in the pillar of fire, y'all ready? No, I'm moving. And when I move, follow me. God is a moving God. He's a moving God. He's always been a moving God. And you got to learn how to move with your God. He's not a dead God. You see, we got some people that can't move. They get a revelation. They get a word from God. They get an order. They get a vision. And they don't have the sensitivity to know when the vision, the order, the season is over and it's time to move again. Oh, somebody got to hear me up in here. You got to be at a hearing. We got some people, man, listen, I'm telling you, they like Israel. Yeah, God told them to go to Egypt, but if they was there in Egypt for a season. And it was a certain time when the season was over. And so they sent Moses. And God sent Moses with some new orders, with a new revelation, with a new vision. But we had some people stuck on the old vision. When you got a new vision from God, those that's on the old vision persecute those with the new vision. And so they look at Moses and they say, who had made you a judge and a ruler over us? Who do you think you are? And when God raised him up and showed him that he would be, hallelujah, one of the greatest leaders of that time, pulling them out of Egypt with miracles and plagues and all kind of stuff, and they walking in the wilderness. And guess what? Those that were out of Egypt still wanted to go back to, Lord, we wish the melons and the leeks and the... You're stuck in the old vision. Even those in Saul's kingdom, when it had fallen, they still wanted Saul. When God had moved on and anointed David. Even moving further between Old Testament and New Testament. When God had said that a new covenant I'm going to make with you. Not according to the covenant that I made with you in Egypt, which break, but I'm going to make a new covenant with you, and I'm going to write my words not on tablets of stone, but I'm going to write it in your heart. Hey, and every one of y'all going to know me and love me and be with me. A new covenant, a new move, a new revelation, a new vision, a new order, but some couldn't move with God. Stuck on the Old Testament. Stuck on dietary laws and circumcisions and all of the things that in God was saying, listen, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. I'm the Sabbath you've been waiting for. But they were stuck. I want to ask you a question. Are you stuck on yesterday's revelation? Are you stuck on yesterday's orders? They got some people who was in a denomination that God was with at one time, but God done moved on. Ichabod, the glory is gone. But here you are, I was born this, raised this, I'ma die that. But what if God done moved from that? You see, when he moved, I move. It's like God is my dancing partner, baby, and he takes the lead. And when he, hey, what you gonna do? Some of y'all dancing with God, but you want to lead God. You like that little bumper sticker. You say, God, be my co-pilot. Nah. God ain't never co-nothing. You understand? God is the pilot. You are drive for me. Where you go, I will go. Are you stuck? Now listen, we've been talking about that Hebrew doctrine. And it's a new thing. And some of y'all can't move. You still on that old thing. And Pastor, what's the old thing? You still on the old thing. You want to quote some scripture for you? That blindness would happen to the Hebrew until the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles come in. But after the fullness of the Gentiles would come in, a season would shift. A season would change. You still on Gentile time when God is moving on to Hebrew time. What time is it? While we was driving, we had to be sure to make sure when we crossed the time zones. Some of y'all stuck in the previous time zone. Some of y'all don't know what time it is. You can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times. God is doing something new. Ow! You feel me, Mike? But you still stuck in this old thing. What about everybody else? What about the Gentile? Ain't nobody ever worried about you. What you worry about everybody else for? It's not the season for that. Not the season for that. It's a season for the regathering. It's a season to come get right. It's a season to be who we're supposed to be so that we can lead and so that the Judah, the scepter would never depart from Judah. It's a time for everything under the sun. Seasons change. Some of y'all can't change. It's 98 degrees out there. You still dress for winter. What revelation, yo. I know as I preached about the Hebrews, it's hard. You don't think it was hard when Moses went to Israel and said, we busting out this joint. You don't think it was hard? You don't think it was hard when David told his men, listen, little shepherd boy, ain't got nothing. He said, I'm the king. What? You don't think that's hard? I understand it's hard. But if I give you scripture and I give you evidence and listen, you see my life and I'm not living all kind of other way. I ain't got women on this side. I'm not doing all that. Listen, you're going to know them by their fruit. You know I'm a true prophet. I'm trying to tell you the season's changing. Persecution happens when those who can't switch seasons begin to talk about the people that are. So, be ready. As you accept this, people are going to talk about you. But, you got to be a soldier about your business. And you got to say, you could say what you want. I've seen it in my Bible. I've seen it in history. I've seen it in genetics. I've seen it in science. You could say what you want. God is on the move. On the move. Hallelujah. God is on. You understand me? And you got to be able to move with it. Have mercy, God. It's a new season. It's a new season. Now, Martin Luther King said this. He said, truth goes through three phases, three stages of truth. When you bring out a truth, the first thing people going to do is ridicule you. They gonna laugh at you. Same way they laughed at me. Who had made you? But let them laugh. Keep laughing. you hold your ground and everything, and it's going to move to the second phase of truth. And the second phase of truth is that they're going to violently oppose you. That means that we can't argue with you, and what you're saying is backed up by everything, but I don't want to hear it, so I get mad and I want to fuss. And if you keep in my ear about that, I might slide you one. Truth is ridiculed, then it's violently opposed, and the last stage of truth, it is accepted as self-evident. The same one you was fussing with that was clowning you, after some time, they're going to say, I always knew you was right. And then you're going to want to slide them one. Oh, I should. That's how truth is. You know? That's how truth is. You know, for the Negro, we come and we say, we people too, we want equal rights. It was ridiculed on first. Equal. Y'all animals, look how y'all dressing. We stuck to our guns. No, we want equal rights. It was violently opposed. Selma and different things. But we are living in the final stage of that. Where it's like, of course you're a person, Maddie. Look at you. Of course you're a little person. You know what I'm saying? It's self-evident. Now, what I'm trying to say is, can you stand the rain? All right, let's keep moving, y'all. Persecution by religious leaders. Another thing about the priests is they were not only the religious leaders, they were also the political leaders. What you mean by that, Pastor? Well, in Israel that day, the religious leader were the political leaders. It's like having the Pope and the President in one. That was the high priest. He governed both the spiritual matters and the political matters. Does that make sense to y'all? All right. So the revelation is this. Not only will religious leaders persecute you, but political leaders will persecute you too, Christian. What you saying, Pastor? Well, you will be persecuted inside the church and outside the church. Break it down, Pastor. Well, in America right now, that's what we're going through. Whether you know it or not, Christians are suffering from political persecution. We're not being beaten just yet, Jay Gray. We're not being physically persecuted, but we're suffering from persecution. How you know, Pastor? Well, when you take prayer out of school, and we can't pray no more in school, but at the same time, you're going to let the transgenders and the homosexuals have their bathrooms and stuff like that. That's persecution. Because you're not, you're going to one side, but you're not going to the other. Why? I can't pray. They doing what they want to do. Why? I can't pray. This is what I do, but we're not going to let you do what you do. Everybody else could do what they do, but not you. That's persecution, man. It's persecution. And we're going through it right now. And it's not just in the schools, amen. They forbid the teaching of creation in school. That God created everything. They don't teach that in most schools. Oh, no. But they teach the Darwin's theory of evolution. You know? And the first thing they're going to say, well, creation not true. The devil is a liar. Number one, it is true. The Bible says it's true. Now, you don't believe it. But evolution is not true either. You know that's why they call it the theory of evolution? Because it can't be scientifically proven, so it's just a theory. So if it's just a theory, why can't we present all theories? Why can't my child open up their science book and say one theory is that God created the heavens and the earth. Another theory is we came from a snail. No, you don't want to put creation next to evolution, because we're going to look and see how crazy this really looked. Anybody hear me up in here? So when you tell everybody way but my way, that's persecution. You feeling where I'm coming from? We're being persecuted in America. It's a political persecution that's going on. Let me keep going. Not only that, when you begin to take the commandments out of the courtrooms, out of the universities, out of the state houses, you begin to uproot them. You see, America was founded on the Bible, man. And they put stuff there in the 1700s and the 1800s, amen, so we would never forget what our law was really based upon. Our law, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, our laws are based on that. So they put them Ten Commandments there. They don't want that no more, man. They don't want to listen to that no more. So they uprooting them. They breaking them, man. They tearing them up. They don't want that no more. Now, at the same time, in New York, they're about to build a temple of Baal. Baal is a false religious god that they used to worship back in the Old Testament. And there you see Moloch, where they would sacrifice their children. They won't build that in New York. So you're going to take the Ten Commandments from the courthouse, from the school. You're not even going to let me put a baby Jesus in City Hall with the nativity scene, because you say it's not a separation of church and state. I can't put none of my stuff, but you're going to let them put there? You're going to let the devil worshipers come out now and have services in city halls and in public squares? Listen, there was a time when devil worshipers was afraid to come out. Luciferians was afraid to come out. Nah! They coming on black island, black this, black that. They blacked out. And now, we undercover. Why is it okay for everybody else to do their thing? But us. That's persecution. And listen to me. Some of y'all are looking, see, well, Christians are so intolerant. One of the greatest arguments we learn as lawyers and debaters is this. And it's a deceptive thing. That's why I don't do it. If somebody doing something to you, or rather, you doing something to somebody, you reverse that and tell them they doing that to you. So say, like, let me break it down. I'm stealing from DeShanti, right? Reverse psychology is to tell DeShanti, stop stealing from me. You're no good. But I'm the one that's really stealing. You hear me? So as we look at America, Ms. Andrew is saying the Christian is intolerant. When any good Christian knows this, we can preach the gospel to people. We can show them Christ. But at the end of the day, they're going to live how they want. And we're not going to beat them and hit them on the head and do ISIS and kill them to accept Christ. No, listen, I gave it to you. Now it's up to you. That's the true Christian. We're not intolerant, man. But let me show you how they're playing us. They're accusing us of intolerance. Why they really intolerant? Why they saying... No, they saying y'all can't teach creationism. They saying y'all can't pray in school. They saying y'all can't put this. Why can't I believe in what I believe in? Why can't I just be me and love God? Because you don't want me to love God. You don't want me to be me. And you the one that's really intolerant. Listen to me, man. We got Christians that come out. Miss Carol, they come out and they on ESPN, or the actors and actresses, and when all that homosexual stuff came out, the NBA, NFL, some of them boys, they ask them what they think. I'm a believer. What you want me to do, lie? You ask me what I think it's a sin. He got the right to do what he wants, but I don't think that that's the way that God would have him to live. That's what I believe. Now, why when I say what I believe, you fire me? Who is intolerant? Maddie, listen now. Who is it? It's thinking. It's seeing through the fog. Who is really intolerant? Why when my children go to college and they commanded to curse Jesus or say that God is dead and not alive and they refuse to do so, why does my child fail the class? You're trying to take away my right to my personal belief, man. Not only does the world not want you to believe what you believe, but they're trying to tell you what to believe. Are you hearing me? And when you refuse to believe what they believe, they call you a bigot and you intolerant when that's really what they're doing. Oh, God have mercy. Oh, man, somebody got a... Are you walking with me? You can hear me up in... The devil is a liar, man. A master manipulator. Since the very beginning, God only knows that he's a liar, man. We've been persecuted in America. We got a Christian business called Chick-fil-A. Somebody say Chick-fil-A. Y'all know where y'all go. Well, the owner of the business was Christian. And he had a stance on certain things, and guess what? They began to boycott his business. Whole cities don't want him in their cities. Whole universities don't want him in their universities because of their belief that they have a right to have. You ain't doing that to nobody else but Christians. You ain't even doing that to the Muslims, but you're doing it to the Christians. But Satan don't cast out Satan. He's not divided. So, oh, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So they try to boycott Chick-fil-A. But if God be for you, that's why when you pass on Louisiana Avenue and you want to try to get you a three-piece chicken strip, it's packed to the back, baby. We was on vacation. We had a line going twice around the Chick-fil-A. I was like, babe, I'm getting dizzy. I'm looking at how bad you want this. Well, it's going, she encouraged me. This ain't going to take no time at all. It's going, oh, yeah. Ooh, look how fast they're going. Ooh, look. You remember that? I said, girl, you really encourage, huh? You see, they trying to stop something that they can't stop. Chick-fil-A work 6 days a week and make more money than them working 7 days a week. My God! We got this actress by the name of, what's her name? Stacey Dash. Yeah, but when was the last time y'all saw her before that? Clueless? Yeah. You know why? Because she got saved. And she a Christian. And she come out and say she not acting in no movies no more because Hollywood blackballed her. You find out you're a Christian and you try to live God and you don't want to do certain things no more. Somebody say persecution. They had a Christian wedding cake business in Oregon. Built his business up from the ground up. Blood, sweat, tears. It's his business. Two of them boys come in there and say they're going to get married. And he said, all right. We won't put the little two men on the cake like that. Boy said, I'm a Christian. I can't put them little two men on the cake like that. I can't rock like that. That's against my beliefs. And if it's my business that I built, I have a right to my own beliefs? Huh? Can I have a right to that? No. No. They dragged that man in court. Find him a six-figure fine. He almost had to close his business down to pray. Almost bankrupt that man. Trying to force him to go against his beliefs. If you don't understand just yet, I don't know what more I can do. They trying to convince you that we got a problem. We ain't got no problem, man. When you really know a real Christian, it smiles, it hugs. Listen, man, my mode of witnessing is, understand, I ain't trying to be mean to nobody. They waiting on me all the time. Hey, how y'all doing? You know, ain't no big deal. You be whatever you want. Now, I'm a witness to you, and if you ask me, I'm going to say it's wrong, but that's my belief. It's persecution when you can't have no more. Let me give you this last one. Brother Art, you in tune right now. You know what I'm talking about. Let me give you this last one. They put Christians on a list. What kind of list, Pastor? The homeland terrorist list. They say that the Christians are just as dangerous as ISIS. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about? Just as dangerous as ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Now, I ain't cut nobody's head off in a long time. Me. You know what I'm saying? How in the world, church-going people, just as dangerous as ISIS and Al-Qaeda? You hear me wrestling? That's crazy, huh? That don't make no sense. You see, so they put us on a watch list. Now, you got to read close because they call us right-wing conservative. Let me break that down. That's another word for Christians, because most Christians are right-wing conservative. All of us are, whether we vote that way or not, I'm not into politics, all of us as Christians are socially conservative. Let me tell you what that means. Socially conservative means that you have a set of morals that have been passed down to you. And while the world is changing their morals and their ways, you are conservative in your morals. I don't care what you say. There's some right and wrong that I won't do. And so they call you conservative because you have chosen to stick to the Bible and follow the ways of God and keep the patience of the scriptures. So now you are conservative. Listen, most of us are. We got some things that we call right and some things that we call wrong. Now listen, man. We all fall into this category, man. They do word games. Word games. But we the ones they talking about. Why, Pastor? Well, they trying to take this thing a direction that we really won't go. You see? And they hate us for it. So they put us on this list, man. You're going to have to research. Department of Homeland Security secretary by the name of Jay Johnson or whatever his name is, a Johnson fellow, brother. Talking about that we a threat. I ain't no threat. I'm only a threat when you threaten me. You understand what I'm saying? I got a little hood in me. You know what I'm saying, Raymond? Huh, Jay Gray? That's the only reason, that's the only way I'm a threat. Besides that, we cool. We chilling, man. Let me give you this last one. Not only was the persecution religious and political, but in John and Peter's day, the persecution was also military and police. Pastor, what you mean by that? The Bible says that the captain of the temple came with the priest to take Peter and John in. Who's the captain of the temple, Pastor? The captain of the temple was the head of a little security detail. Some soldiers, man. And their job was to keep the order and the decor of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. You see? know what I'm saying? They had a little, like a little police, a little military. All right? The military element of Israel and the political element of Israel, just like the religious element of Israel, were closely connected. If the religious didn't like you, the political didn't like you. If the political didn't like you, the military couldn't stand you. It's like that today. There was a time when our military took an oath to defend our Constitution, which is we the people, our country, and the people that make up the Constitution. The Constitution wasn't brought forth by the government. The Constitution was brought forth by the people. We the people. And that gave rise to a government that would protect and serve the people and defend the people from threats, foreign and domestic. That's what the military job was. The military right now not really protecting us from foreign and domestic problems. They're really not defending us. They're defending the politicians and going out and fight the battles of the politicians. Listen, my brothers in the military, don't be offended by me. Let me just tell you the truth for a second. They tell you where to go, whether it's good for America or not. It wasn't good for America to go in Iraq. It wasn't good for America to go to Afghanistan. It ain't good for America to beat a lot of people. But the political tell us that it's good. In Peter and John's day, the military, police, the captain of the temple, put their hands on Christians. Now we bless right now, Deshante, that we're not experiencing that type of persecution. Yet, the military and the police not putting their hands on Christians. Yet. But if you know history, if you know what's going on in the rest of the world, you know that other nations are putting their hands on Christians. You know they got pastors in jail in some parts of the world. And if America continues down the road of hating us, the very people that founded the country, it won't be long until they start putting their hands on us again. Pastor, how do you know? Well, I just look at things. I just look at things. If you didn't want to put your hands on me, why do you put me on a list like ISIS and Al-Qaeda? Huh? If you didn't want to put your hands on me, number two, why are you holding military exercises in the United States? Anybody ever heard of Jade Helm? A law enforcement fella just met me outside after first service and told me, Pastor, do you know that they're training us for urban warfare in America? How to put down the American people? Do you know that the Department of Homeland Security is stocking up on weapons and bullets? Wait. I thought y'all was supposed to be at the airport checking luggage. What in the world is you buying up most of the ammunition, almost 2 billion rounds of ammunition? What are you preparing for? What are you preparing for? For an enemy, I thought the military was supposed to do that. What else you see, Pastor? Not only do they put us on a list of military exercises in our country that the states really don't like. Number three, Department of Homeland Security, stockpiling weapons and ammo. Here's number four. While they stocking ammo, they telling you to give up your guns. Somebody heard me in the spirit. You could take that off of that. We're not on that right now. We listen, while they stocking ammo, they telling you to get rid of your guns. Orlando. The problem is guns, they say. Get rid of your guns. You know what I like to tell them first, big sister? You know what I like to tell them? You know what I like? They say, get rid of your guns. I say, you first. Because the same people telling you to get rid of your guns, stacking up on guns. The same people, Hillary and all of them, telling you to get rid of guns, they rolling around with armed security guards. So while you got armed security guards, you telling me to get rid of guns so that I can be defenseless? No. You get rid of your guns first. We all ain't going to have no guns. And when I see them get rid of their gun, I'm going to bring mine here. Look, here. Now we can throw rocks at each other. You see? That's crazy. Now, when you watch the news, you got to open your eyes. You feel sad about what happened to Orlando, and you should, because listen, as Christians, we're not happy when nobody get hurt. But don't let them play you with that. I told you where they going, the whole story, and the whole story is to get you not to be able to defend yourselves. Remember who owned the news media? Ashkenazi Jews, we talked about. And now they're telling you to get rid of your guns. Don't believe the hype. Now listen, I want to talk to the Negroes in here. Raise your hand if you're a Negro. I'm joking. I want to talk to the Negroes up in here. Because we got a lot of Negroes that's with this non-violence, give up all the guns. So in here. You know what I want to tell you? Negro, please. And I really want to say the other word. What is wrong with you? Do you remember the last time you ain't had no guns and wicked men had guns? They put that barrel in your back and got you on that ship and laid you down and put them cuffs on you and let your wife lay on the side of you. Rape your wife, rape your children, use your babies as gator bait. And you won't give? You won't give them the gun? Here, my gun. Fool me once? Shame on me. Wait, how you go, baby? Wait. Fool me once? Shame on you. You was wrong for that. But if we try that again and I bite again, this, that, shame on me. I'm the fool now. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, give me the gun. Go ahead. Nah. The Negro got to say, nah. Come on, try with me. Nah. I ain't giving you nothing. Because the last time y'all had it, this is what you did to me. I'm not talking about all your, I'm talking about the wicked ones. You see? Nah. Mm-mm. You see what happened to the Indians, huh? Listen to me. You got to study history, man. If you don't know where you're from, you don't know where you're going. If you don't know the old tricks, you ain't going to know. You know what I'm saying? Negro, please. It's sad, cry, and everything, but look, you. It gets nothing. You see, slaves don't have guns, but free people got guns. Oh, that boy cutting up. Yeah, I'm cutting up. Nah, don't give me a gun. You go buy you a gun. You see? Yeah. Nah. All right, and I got another question for the Negro. If you give up all your guns, who's going to protect you? That's what I want to know. Who's going to protect you? Who? The police? The police? No, seriously. The The police. I'm saying one shooting you all in the back while y'all run. Who's going to protect you? The government? Huh? And some of them say, well, God going to protect me. Yeah, God going to protect you. Give you wisdom. He told Nehemiah, while we're doing this, do your work. What kind of church we in? I'm real. You better get with heavy, brother, heavy, heavy weapon. Better order yourself. Listen, I'm trying to pierce through the deception. It's a time of deception right now. And it's great. And don't tell me you ain't watched TV and thought about that. Yeah, they right, the guns. We really killing each other up. All right, let me talk to the Europeans in here. Raise your hand. I'm joking, but listen. The Caucasians, European. I talked to the Negroes already. Maybe I'm on video, or live stream. Caucasian, white folks. If they come try to ask you for your gun, you say, nah. You tell them you first. Because just like the Negro, our good brothers and sisters in Christ, that's European, that's Caucasian, you don't give them people nothing. Why, Pastor? I got a question for you. How in the world are you going to give your guns to a government you can't trust? All right? Now, Maddie, watch this. Watch this, Maddie. Watch this. I'm talking about logic, right? So, I can't trust you with my water because we live in Michigan and you got lead in my water. Now, I can't trust you with my food because that stuff y'all serving now, God knows what it is. It's genetically modified. It looked like particle board in that chicken. I don't know what it is. The chicken 3 days old is about the size of my dog. What is y'all doing? I trust you with my water. I can't trust you with my food. You know what I'm saying? I can't trust you with my medicine, man. Because you bought the pharmaceutical company running all the clinical tests, and they putting out medicine that they know driving us crazy, no altering our moods, no messing up our marriages, no giving us side effects. But the government that was supposed to protect me, Jay, not helping me because they bought. How I'm going to trust you, man? I can't trust you with my water. I can't trust you with my food. I can't trust you with my medicine, man. How I'm going to trust you? When it's time to send my kids to the military, I can't trust you with my kids in the military either. You out there fighting, talking about they got nuclear weapons. They ain't found nothing over there. Bunch of slingshots and bow and arrows. That's all they found. You lied to me. I can't trust you, man. So why in the world if I can't trust you in all those areas? Why in the world I'm going to take all my guns and ways of defense and just hand them over to you? Raymond, that makes sense in the street, man? I'm going to look at Raymond laugh. Raymond say, hey, I ain't never heard nothing like that. What gangster going to go to a person that he know want to do him home and say, my brother, I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm going to give you all my guns? Does that make sense? Then why would you ever give your guns to a government you can't trust? Look what, who's that, babe? Look what Benjamin Franklin said. Never trust a government. What'd that say, Mike? That's it. Yeah. That doesn't trust. Wait up. I'm getting. That doesn't trust his own citizen. Yeah. I got to get close. Yo. Y'all know, Rusty, you know what I'm saying. How you gonna trust a government that don't trust its own citizens with guns? Now, George Washington got a saying too. Now I'm gonna have to go back up there. Y'all gonna laugh at me again. Look what Georgie boy said. He said, when any nation mistrusts its citizens with guns, it is sending a clear message. What's the message? It no longer trusts its citizens because such a government has. You see, if I ain't got no plan to come into your house or harm you, I don't mind you having a weapon. We cool. You strap, I'm strapped. We ain't got no problem. Because I ain't going to do you nothing. But it's only when you want to do me something, you got a problem with me protecting myself and my family. I'm trying to pierce the veil here. Let me give you some more ammunition to clarify what's going on. You don't want to play around during this persecutorial time and relinquish your ways of defense when we're going through this religious persecution, political persecution, and coming military persecution. You don't want to give up all your guns because it's not going to work. They on there and they crying on TV, CNN, Fox. If we give up all the guns, it ain't going to be nobody killing nobody no more. I'm sorry. Did Cain have a gun when he killed Abel? Huh? Cain never had no gun when he killed Abel. In fact, all the killing that went on in our Bible, ain't no guns was there. Listen, guns ain't killing nobody, no. It's wicked people that's killing. Problem is not the weapon, though. Problem is the people. I'm going to tell you, listen, man. If you outlaw guns, people going to still figure out a way to hurt themselves. They don't get them a stick and sharpen it, a toothbrush, and make them a, you know what I'm saying? What they call that in prison? Look how y'all know that. Why y'all? Oh. Some of y'all did time. A shank? Yeah, that's a shank, man. Brother Sam, you heard the people. We're going to make him a shank. Look, we're going to get it, baby. It's in the heart of man that murders come from. It's in the heart of man, not the barrel of a gun. They come out the heart of a man. So it won't work. So they show you statistics of Great Britain and Japan. You know? And they show you what, we took away the guns and there's no gun deaths. Read the print. No gun deaths? Less gun deaths than America? Okay, I understand that. But can you tell me how many deaths of violent crime? Because yeah, okay, you've decreased the guns, but how many people are getting killed as the killing went down? Because don't play me. Do you have a problem with killing or do you have a problem with gun killing? You got a problem with gun killing. You don't care if we kill each other. You just don't want us to do it with guns. You don't want us to have guns. So when you look at the research, look at the death rate from violent crimes in those foreign countries. And you're going to find that some of them are over America, some of them right with America. And listen, they ain't got no guns. In fact, just this week in England, a parliamentary woman was killed. And they got some of the toughest gun laws over there. That lady still died, man. Not only England, listen, Paris got some of the toughest gun laws. You can't go hunting over there without going through a 5th degree. You understand what I'm saying? You ever heard of the Charlie Hebdo attack and the Paris attacks that kill all those people? So now outlawing guns gonna stop killing people? Uh-uh. Don't make it worse. Because just because something illegal don't mean that it stopped. Look, I found this. Watch, show that little baby. Show that little baby. That little baby got a question. That little baby, look at that little baby. That little baby, so making guns illegal will take rights? Man, I got a bright idea. We should make drugs illegal too. If making something illegal take them off the street, making something illegal don't take it off the street, no. You know if them boys want that, they gonna get that whether they say it's legal or not. Not you, you a good Christian boy. I'm saying the boys in there. I saw his mama look at him. I'm not, Pastor, you by. No, I'm not talking to you. Listen. Now, some of y'all grew up, y'all know about them shanks, so y'all. Now, listen. Let's just talk a little bit now. Let's just talk. How many of y'all done had a hot gun before y'all and your boy? No, but listen. On the street, whether it's legal or not, you can get it, yeah, man. You get you a gun, man, a little 25 or something, man. Listen. That's what I'm saying. Somebody didn't know how to get it right now. So how in the world making it illegal gonna stop it? You know what it's gonna stop? It's gonna stop people that wanna follow the law from having it. But the other people that wanna do something, they gonna get them a little hot gun, a little burner, they call that. You know what I'm saying? Pastor, how you know that? You don't need to know that, but I'm just saying. I'm almost done, man. I'm serious. So it won't work. That don't work. You know? Let me give you another reason why that's crazy for them to want to take the guns away because of the Orlando situation. The Orlando situation was a terrorist attack. That's what it was. I'm sorry. It was a terrorist attack, you know? Now, this dude, he pledged allegiance to ISIS. All right? So he pledged allegiance to ISIS. He shoot a bunch of people in America and won't take my gun. Does that make sense to you? All right? Come on, y'all, press in. Don't pay attention to that. Come on, press in. All right? So, let me talk with you about that. The news keeps saying we want to try to find out his motive. Y'all heard that, Mr. White? You heard that? We're still trying to see what his motive is. The dude called 911 and say, "I am ISIS." You understand what I'm saying? ISIS. And hang up the phone. And they trying to figure out the dude's motive. Man, stop tripping, man. You know his motive. But if you say his motive really terrorism, then you can't connect it to taking all the guns away. Let me go deeper with you. And we almost done. I just want you to open your eyes to something. Pastor, why? God don't want his people deceived. We in a time of deception. It's almost in time, yeah, y'all. I used to preach like this. I never used to bring things that's going on right now to you, know. It's a different time right now. It's critical right now. It's critical, man, I'm telling you, it's critical right now. A wrong move, man, it's critical. So God wants his people to see what's going on, man. Now, okay. Well, who created ISIS? Well, they got proof that America created ISIS. CIA, them, bought their weapons. The boy got nice uniform. The boy dressed like Raymond. You know what I'm saying? The boy be clean out there, ISIS. How in the world you eat clean like that? You Middle East terrorist. You got money. I done watched them boy rolling Toyotas, Land Rover. You know what I'm saying? How do you get that? And when you look at the weapons they got, weapons mounted on cars and stuff like that, where are you getting all this from? Who is funding you? Well, the Russian President Vladimir Putin say, that he got video evidence that the CIA trained him, paid him, even working with him. Pastor, that's crazy. That ain't never happened before. You ever heard of Osama bin Laden? Now, okay. You create ISIS. They come here because they mad at you now because you the same person you created. Now you're bombing. Just like Osama bin Laden. They get mad. They come over here. They shoot up a bunch of people. Now remember, you created them. And you won't take my gun? That ain't my fault. That's your fault. What in the world is you doing? I'm almost done. Here's number five, and we done. Number five reason why it's crazy. But Brother Sam, don't give up nothing you got, baby. You're going to hear on the news, they're going to say, well, let's not take away all the guns. Let's just take away the guns to the people that's on the watch list. Now, none of us asking who on the watch list. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I just told you that they didn't beat us up. Right, doing all right? Thank you. I just told you that they done team us up and to call us Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all that. If you let them pass this and they say, well, we're going to just take away the guns people on the list, you're going to be very surprised when you find your name. You know? See, they got more than one way to skin a cat. You can enter a house from the front door, but also from the back door. They trying to backdoor you, man. You know what you're telling? You're telling like Rosa Parks. Nah. Nah. All right. Listen to me. A lot of what I'm covering is the deception that's going on. And I do this so that you won't get deceived. The Antichrist is coming. Lord is closing up the curtain and is drawing to an end. And we're living in a day where God want to know who you with. You ain't going to better come here and say that you didn't know. You ain't going to better come here and say that God didn't send a among you. But that some of you in here, amen, you just listen and you hear because you don't really want to be here and you say, man, all that stuff crazy, all that stuff not going on, you know. And I won't pray for you. I won't pray for you because, listen, if you can't hear his voice, amen, you may not be one of his sheep. He said, because only my sheep hear my voice. And today in a second, amen, if you're not saved, I'm going to do me an altar call right here, right now. And you can get saved. If any time salvation was important, it's important now. Because God is about to draw the line right now. Who you with? It's going to get wild, man. If you today have any doubt about your eternal destination, any doubt about you being saved, in a second, you're going to come and pray with me. But also, if you're a Christian, and all this deception that's been in the media, the TV, and all that, it's been messing with your walk. It's got you doubting some things, whether it be right or whether it be wrong. It's got you trying to move your morals, and you're going through you. The deception, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to be strong. God said, listen, lest he would shorten the days, the very elect would be deceived. It's going to be strong, man. And if you feel yourself being pulled into the world's philosophy of living, listen, you come to the altar too. We're going to have to pray. There's another group, you in here. And you all right. You standing your ground, man. But you're going through some persecution, man. You done experienced everything I done talk about. In the church, at the church, verbal, physical, social. They. We pray for you, too. And if for any reason, you got to be at this altar. When the music starts, you can come. Pastor going to pray with you. Come. Come. You know what I'm saying is true? Come. 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 We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I can't leave it open long because we got to go, but just come on. Just come on. We got to pray. It's some dangerous times. It's some dangerous times. There's never been a time like this one right here, y'all. I'm serious. I'm serious. We're going to see some things in our days that our parents ain't never saw. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. Pray with me. Say, Father, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for revealing truth. I'm sorry for all my sins. I admit I messed up. But I know that you still love me and that you up on me. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for all my sins. Lord, I believe that you were buried in the grave. Lord, I believe on the third day you rose with all power and all might. I believe with all my heart that you ascended into heaven. I believe you're coming back. Lord, save me, a sinner, and forgive me of all my sins. Wash me white as snow. Fill me with your spirit. Anoint me and use me for your glory. Open my eyes to all deceptions. Help me to see the devil a mile away. I don't want to be a fool. Give me wisdom. Show me the devil's plan. Show me the devil's tactics. Help me, Lord, not to fall victim to his ways. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him glory, somebody. Hey!